where Wilton comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Because I have Sephardic Jewish relatives, and they have names like that.
So my wife went to high school in Israel. And,
is she Jewish?
She is, yeah.
Oh.
And,
what does that mean? Welcome back to the show. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Lisa Wexler, and I'm so delighted because I'm sitting here with Bill Taibbi and trying not to mispronounce his name. We're actually doing this on YouTube, so we're not doing it live on YouTube, but we're going to do it on YouTube so you're going to be able to see it later on YouTube. And our telephone number, you can call me. You can call me at 203-333-9422. Bill, you have really taken over the restaurant scene in Westport. Like, I'm not exaggerating. You've got a bunch of restaurants that no one can get into on a Saturday night,
yes,
including me. And I'm a VIP in my own mind.
Yes.
Just so you know. I'm a VIP in my own mind.
Yep.
Thank you. So I would like to get into the Welk. But I've eaten at Kawani, which was, I thought it was Japanese, but maybe it's Asian. You'll tell me.
Yep.
And it was the most extraordinary bowl of food I've ever had in an Asian restaurant.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
I loved it. I love to hear. I want you to be comfortable with the mic, but let's get your face too. Okay.
Yep.
I want your face somehow.
We want her face.
There we go.
My mom wants to see my face.
We
want
to see your face. Okay. So let me just say that I ate a bowl of food that was a tremendous amount of greens, which is my favorite thing to eat,
mm-hmm,
with some mushroom yummy, which was also excellent.
Yep.
I think there was some chicken in there because I don't eat pork.
Okay.
And a broth. And I love meals in a bowl.
Sure.
Now, this was a couple of years ago.
Yep.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it could have been a Peiton chicken. Yeah, it's just a broth, a bowl of ramen. It's a bowl of deliciousness. I think that's why everybody loves ramen, is because it's just, you know, a big bowl of chicken soup, if you would.
Yes.
It makes us all feel better, yes.
I'm all about the chicken soup.
Yeah,
it comes back down to the chicken soup.
It comes back down to chicken soup, always.
And then I ate at Don Memo over this summer, and I ate outside on Jessup Green in the beautiful, you know, and I had a wonderful selection of different things, but really nice tastes. Now, Don Memo is Mexican?
Mexican, yeah. Just from my travels of Mexico and the things that I love about Mexico City, I've been fortunate the last couple of years to spend time there. And I just thought I'd bring it back and let the folks of Westport and the surrounding areas sort of enjoy Mexico and Mexico City the way I do.
You like Mexico? I've never been to Mexico. I've only been to Guadalajara. I haven't been to Mexico City.
Mexico City is my favorite place in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. It's just so vibrant. The food is amazing. You know, the people. It's just a vibrant, active city. Again, I love the cuisine of Mexico. So all points of Mexico sort of come to center in Mexico City. So the cuisines of Oaxaca and Puebla and Guadalajara City, you could find all of that in Mexico City. There's this sort of misnomer that it's just an unsafe place.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, Bill, because that's the reason I haven't gone there, because I'm afraid I'll get a dysentery that will be with me the rest of my life.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, well, listen, travel with Pepto-Bismol, for sure.
Okay.
You know, and there's you know, you want to have some Z-Pad on you. You want to make sure that your immune system might not be ready for that. For that cuisine.
Okay.
I've never had problems, knock on wood.
Okay.
You do not drink the water. Everything's bottled. But, you know, it's a modern city, so they're doing everything they can to protect you anyway.
And you speak Spanish?
I do. Enough to get me
enough,
through Mexico
me too.
City.
Enough, right.
Enough to get me through
this
kitchen service.
This is what you'd say. Una más. One more. I'll have one more.
Yep.
We're chatting with Bill Taibbi, 203-333-9422. And, okay, so let me hear about how you became a chef, and then I want to hear how you became a restaurateur, because the two are not necessarily coexisting together. They're very different skill sets.
It's funny. They are very different, actually, and I only realized that recently.
Oh, my God. I could have told you that. Yeah.
You get your head down in the kitchen when you're a chef, and you just kind of forget about everything else. You know, I wish I had a romantic story. I didn't grow up with the love of food. You know, I grew up in a Italian-Irish family. Both parents worked very hard. My mother, you know, made sure there was food on the table every night.
Did she cook it?
She did some, you know, in some cases. And if she's listening, Mom, you're amazing.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, once a week you went for pizza.
It would be the same stuff. It would be pizza.
Yeah.
There would be the TV dinner once or twice a week. Chicken cutlets, a roast beef. You know, your classic American cuisine.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Carmel, New York, Patterson, New York, and went to Carmel High School.
I know that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really small town.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, I have a brother and a sister, both younger than me. My brother's a chef as well, Jeff Tabey.
Wow.
And, yeah, he owns a restaurant, Taproot, in Bethel. And my sister's off in Germany now. It's sort of graduated high school and left us and has never come back. well, she's visited, but has never lived back in the States.
She likes Europe.
Yeah, so she's been all over. But she'll be back this week for the holidays. So anyway, I grew up in this, you know, in just a house of love, and it wasn't really focused on food and cuisine, but I'm confident to say now that I was a terrible high school student, and I just really hated.
Oh, so you weren't going to college? Harvard wasn't beckoning for you, Bill.
No. The only place I really wanted to go to the University of Michigan, and that wasn't a chance. So
was that because of sports?
Sports,
or something?
Yeah. I was just I'm a big Michigan fan.
Yeah, of course.
So you know, as the end of my high school career was winding down, obviously everybody's making decisions what they're doing, and I didn't know what was next for me. So being a police officer was an option because on my mother's side, there's a bunch of police officers in Queens, and,
wow.
You know, pridefully, we have detectives and sergeants and everybody. And it's just sort of what happened on the Irish side of our family. They were all police officers in New York City.
That's a cliche. That's true.
That's very true.
Very true.
And like I said, pridefully. But I just felt like that was not for me. So I started, you know, I worked at a butcher shop when I was really young in the small town I grew up.
And you could handle that? Because that's a really interesting place to start,
yeah,
to see the animals.
I loved it.
What did you love about it?
I loved it. So, again.
We're chatting with Bill Tabey. Go ahead.
Yeah, sort of the
is it Tabey or Tybee?
It should be Tybee. If my grandfather's here, it'd be Tybee.
I knew that. But how am I mispronouncing it for this radio show?
Yeah, so it's Tabey.
Tabey.
We've Americanized it to Tabey. Yeah.
Okay, Bill Tabey.
And the spelling actually changed. It used to be T-A-I-B-I, and for some reason my grandfather years and years ago decided to put the E at the end.
I think if you made it T-A-Y, it would be easier for us in America to know how to pronounce it.
You're
I'm just saying.
Nobody gets it right.
So I want to hear about working in a butcher shop as a kid and why you loved it.
Yeah, so I love working, first off.
You have to be a chef.
Yeah, I love working. Again, you know, it all goes back to this years and years of inexpensive therapy sessions trying to figure out myself. And I wasn't good at school, and, you know, and that was really difficult for me. Learning in a conventional setting was difficult, and, you know, so it really hit my confidence, and it would stress me out a lot why everyone else was sort of being successful doing this and I wasn't. So, but when I got to do tangible things, I got to touch things and I got to be creative, all of a sudden I excelled and I was better than everybody else. So it just gave me this boost of confidence when I would go to work, because work is about working harder. There's not necessarily sort of the mental aptitude to do it. So,
And you must have been very good with your hands.
Yeah, and it just immediately made sense to me, food. I don't know why. So I've never hunted a day in my life. I couldn't imagine taking the life of an animal. I completely understand it and appreciate it and respect it, but I'm not a hunter. But by the time I was 16 years old, at the butcher shop, and obviously I grew up in a hunting community, the folks would bring their deers in on the weekend, and all you had to do was gut it out in the field, and then we would take it from there. And at 16, I could break a deer down from head to tail. I love
the idea. Skin on it and everything.
We would have to peel the skin and work our way through all the primals. And
do you pray over that when you have an animal like that? Like, I'd want to, like, almost like a Native American, pause and say a blessing.
I would assume the people that I would hope the people that had hunted the animal had definitely spent some time respecting, you know, what they were getting. And for me, when you're butchering it, the same process. It's, you know, and it's the way that I've always taught my cooks as well. You know, this animal is here to give us something, so let's not waste it. Let's respect it. I hate when a young cook is breaking down, you know, a large animal, and they joke around and they pick up the pig head and they put it on their face. You know, it's funny because it's funny, but it's not after a while. You just think to yourself, let's respect this a little more, especially sort of the products we use and where we get them from. So that's been, I think, something that's been with me for a very long time, since the time I was a kid. I was taught that by Jimmy that I worked with at the butcher shop. So that just made sense. And then thankfully I just kept stepping into piles of goodness, and a very good friend of mine, his uncle owned a catering company in Armonk called the Brown Bag of Armonk, and they had offered me a job right out of high school. And I was going to community colleges, but I never went. You know, I had enrolled in Westchester Community College.
Okay.
I went to the orientation, the opening orientation. I never went back again.
You'll be teaching there soon.
So I tried to go, you know, through the normal channels. And it just, as soon as I got to class at community college, I was like, this is 13th grade. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So I went right to work and I got into catering, and I was, you know, we started out obviously as a low cook, a prep cook, and worked my way up pretty quickly into somebody that was at a very young age, by 18, 19 years old, I was sort of managing parties and, you know, being maybe second chef at these parties.
And that's a whole other level of skill.
Yeah.
You are managing and juggling 1,000 details at the same time.
Yep.
You have to have very high executive functioning for that.
Yeah, I think ADD helps too.
It does help with food, right?
Yeah.
You're constantly moving to the next thing, You're multitasking constantly.
My brain doesn't work when I'm in set position. Mm-hmm. I have to have sort of chaos around me to really be at my best.
Okay.
So
that's a kitchen.
Yeah, that's a kitchen. That's my industry. I felt right. I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah.
So either that or I'd, you know, working, in an airport, air traffic control.
So what I want to know, we're chatting with Bill Taibbi, 203-333-9422. So with all this chaos, where does the constant creativity that you need to constantly be creative to be in the restaurant business, like, where does it come from? How do you keep thinking about different foods?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still on my chicken soup.
I know. It's, you know, again, I go back to when I was a kid. I always wanted to be able to draw when I was a kid. So I would sit in my room and I'd try to sketch. And I just, again, what was in my brain never made its way down into the pencil. And food, again, gave me that opportunity to be creative. The plate was the canvas. The food was the colors. And I could arrange and put them, you know, and create my own art. And that, again, sort of settled my creative urge. I what I did at a very early age, once I got into cooking, and I don't know why, I think I'm happy for it, but I really started to understand quickly that the product and the quality of the product that you're cooking makes the food that much better. So immediately I knew.
So ingredients do count?
Ingredients are very important.
They matter?
Yeah, they matter.
Really?
And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised on how people, you think you could spend a little less for the mushrooms or a little less on the greens, go to the cheaper place. Well, you're gonna eat what you buy, right? You're going to get what you buy. So for me, knowing this was a profession, I just really started to obsess on the best product I could get my hands on. And that, the best way to do that was to then know and meet the people that were providing me the food. And that's really where my
love... And is that what you do?
And that's where my love for sort of working with our farmers and our artisans and our, you know,
because you're the head
growers
of our farmer's market here. Is the farmer's market in Westport, is that sourcing from only Connecticut? Is it sourcing from Connecticut and New York State?
I think it's a 90-mile radius.
90
so,
mile.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Lori Cochran-Dougall is actually our executive director of the Westport Farmers Market. And that Westport Farmers Market that's Lori. Everything you see coming in that market really started with Lori and her curation. I am the president of the board of the Farmers Market, but I'm a board member. And my job solely for the Westport Farmers Market is to support Lori.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
And
it still on Thursdays?
It's on Thursdays. It's indoor now at Gilberti's.
What do you mean?
Yeah. It's because it's our winter market. So we go indoors.
Oh, you're going to those greenhouses? Yeah. Those marvelous Gilberti's is such an unbelievable place. On Sylvan
Road
South.
100 years that location's been open.
Place.
It's unbelievable. So please just go see it and support Gilberti's. But on Thursdays, we have the Westport Farmers Market, which is indoors from 10 to 2.
So what have I got? Butternut squash now if I go there?
Beets and onions.
Okay.
And squash, but there's also, you know, so you have some of your autumn and then your winter storage vegetables. But
any
also,
apples left, do you think?
I know Woodland Farm was running very low.
Okay.
But you'll get your celery roots. And then, a lot of our farmers are now preserving a lot of their food. So it's really great. There's a yellow kimchi from Riverbank. And
what's
some,
kimchi?
Kimchi is like a fermented cabbage. It's a Korean fermented cabbage. So imagine sauerkraut, which would be more like Alsatian or German.
Okay.
Well, the Koreans figured it out as well. And they just add a little bit of like chili to their sauerkraut. And you have kimchi, which is just the greatest bite of umami. It's great on sandwiches, and it's actually really good for your gut as well. Lots of probiotics. And
we're chatting with Bill Taibbi, 203-333-9422. We'll be right back. If you have any questions for this fabulous chef and restaurateur, give us a call. He's with us right now, 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
Let Southern Connecticut hear what you think. Call 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
It's holiday time, and I thought, well, what could be more fun than to have Bill Taibbi come into the studio and talk with us and maybe share some secrets about that he has maybe for home cooks in order to make our holidays, I don't know, a little bit more interesting than usual. Although, of course, if we don't throw in the traditions that everybody expects, then they might as well, they're going to throw the pie at you. So it's a combination of both. People want your traditions, but every now and then you as a home cook might get a little bit bored. You might want to spice it up. Bill Taibbi, welcome back to the show. 203-333-9422 if you've got questions or comments from one of our great chefs. So what do you think about home cooks? Is there, I don't know, you know, if we're making our turkey, if we're making our ham, our roast beef, by the way, okay, I had a 6-rib roast beef for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
A prime rib.
Yep.
A huge one.
No turkey.
No, I made turkey too.
Okay.
Of course.
Wow.
On my group, I have to have two. Yeah. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? The same 15 people have to have a choice.
Right.
But I overcooked. Mm-hmm. I overcooked. It wasn't even that overcooked.
Yep.
What it was tough, and I've never cooked tough meat before in my life. I always marinated for 2 or 3 days.
Sure.
I was really not happy with the butcher. I won't mention him on the air because I don't want to hurt his feelings. He was the only kosher butcher ever in Westchester,
right.
So you know there's only one. Why was my meat tough?
I don't think it's anything you had done. You said it was prime rib?
Prime rib.
Yeah, that's a ribeye, so it should have a good amount of fat in it.
It did, but it was tough.
He just gave you, I would have to guess that you probably just got sort of an end cut of the primal. So you have a bunch of sinew and fascia that runs through and you're getting that silver skin inside. And those are sort of the chewy pieces. There's no reason. It's not anything you had done in cooking. Prime rib, typically the reason we love ribeyes is because they're just sort of loaded with fat and have fat wrapping around the outside. And that's usually what cooks into the meat.
And I always put some olive oil on the outside.
Sure, yeah.
That's how I marinate it for a couple of days. I turn it around in some wine and some yummy things and lots of spices. And normally it cuts like butter, and this didn't. I was really unhappy.
I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm sure it's an expensive piece of meat, too.
Beyond.
Yeah, right.
Beyond.
Yeah.
But so there's no magic to that.
No. Like I said, I just think that type of meat, a standing rib roast, should just be cooked low and slow. Time is better, right? So lower oven.
Yep.
Start it with a high sear and then bring it down to 325
That's
degrees or so. Yeah,
yep.
And just let it go until it's, I don't know, 140 degrees inside or so.
I don't do a thermometer. I did the amount of minutes he told me.
Right. Okay. And
he said 20 minutes a pound.
Yeah, that's probably right. I'd probably do closer to like 16 or 18, but yeah.
That's right. I took it in 70 minutes early. Thank God I did. It was already starting to get too done.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
Yes, and that's a lot of FDA stuff where they want to make sure that the meat is cooked through. He doesn't want to take a shot of you eating undercooked meat.
That's good to know, because 20 minutes was too much.
But get yourself a thermometer. Thermometers are super important. Put it right into the belly of the roast, And for something like beef, if you're looking for a medium, pull it at 130, 135 degrees or so. It'll carry to 140, and you're probably looking at
it. So you like a meat thermometer, huh?
I do, yeah. At this point, or it's either a meat thermometer, you just stick a really sharp knife or like a dowel or a skewer in the center.
Okay.
Let it sit in there for 30 seconds, put it to your lips, and if it's warm on your lips, it's, imagine your body's 98 degrees. So if it's warmer than you, you're getting temperature. If it's slightly cool, then it's 110, and...
All right.
There's all these little tricks. But yeah, there's no shame in putting a meat thermometer in it.
So Bill Taibbi, I've noticed that a lot of that we have food trends and food fads in food the way we do in fashion.
Yep.
What are the trends now? If you're putting together a menu, I know you're doing Mexican, you're doing Japanese, and the Welk is what? Is it
Sort of New England oyster bar, but a little different than your traditional oyster bar. It's just kind of my Westport oyster bar restaurant. Yeah.
Could I come there if I don't eat shellfish? Is there anything on the menu
for me?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
There's we really focus on, even more so, there's a great selection of oysters and some local shellfish, but we really focus on salad, on vegetables.
And some meats and fish.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are the trends now? Like, what are the must-haves on a menu nowadays, or the must-avoids? Like, what are people eating?
It's a great question. I think the industry's changed so much. It's funny that the way I look at it as a chef that's been cooking for 25 years now, I feel like I've cooked everything. So, you know, when you asked earlier, you know, how do I come up with these ideas?
Right.
I'm so familiar with food that if I take a carrot and I cook a carrot, I know exactly what it's going to taste like without even tasting it. I know when it comes out of the oven or if it comes out of the pot or if I'm steaming it or whatever I'm doing with that carrot, I just know what it's going to taste like. Because if I taste it in its raw form and it's sweet, I kind of have an understanding how it's going to break
and
down through a cooking
process.
And if
it's not sweet, process. You're not
going to cook it. We're not going to cook
it. I know. And carrots are a really good vegetable to talk about because some of them taste like cardboard.
Right. So, well, some taste like dirt, right, or a little woody. But now is a good time to get carrots as well. The colder the weather, the carrot's better, right? It sort of stores its sugar.
Okay.
And that goes for beets and any really sort of like root vegetable.
I love turnips.
I love turnips as well. Yeah, I love all root vegetables, and they're so good for you.
I have to give a shout-out to Stu Leonard's because they've made it easy for me to cook root vegetables.
Why?
Because they peel them and cube them, and you can buy them that way.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised. I buy that stuff, too. For
you
home?
Save a lot of prep time.
Yeah, for home, yeah, I get it. If it looks good, if it's home. Yeah, for
just home, put in a little olive oil. It's so delicious on the stove.
Right. Home cooking should be stress-free. You know, what's the best way to cook at home, right? Enjoy it. The meal's going to taste good when you enjoy it. If you set yourself up and you put a sort of a tall task ahead of you and you're struggling through the meal, you're just not going to enjoy it. Maybe the folks eating it will, but you won't. And I've cooked many Thanksgiving meals where I've been so stressed and I've got 30 people at the house and then the food comes to the table and I don't even want to eat it. And there's just no fun in that. So really almost lessening what you're going to put out, just make sure you perfect and you put a couple things out that you know are going to be really good and you're comfortable with and your family and friends will enjoy. And you know, you don't have to push it. Maybe next year you change it up a little bit. But I think cooking is about confidence and enjoying it. And it really shows in tasting it.
Are you, so you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the cook at home too?
Sometimes my wife is a really nice cook as well. We tend to eat out a good amount, just with our schedules.
You?
Yeah. And we order a lot of food.
'Cause you're a busy man.
Yeah. We're just busy. So,
do you eat at your own restaurants though?
Sometimes.
Okay. I mean,
not the same way you do. Not the same way you do.
Well, no.
I really struggle to sit down at 7:30 with friends in one of my restaurants.
I get it.
Because my head is on a swivel and I find myself out of the seat most of the time.
You're going to see everything wrong with everything going on and you're going to be fixing things.
I always pop through and I really, obviously, I eat my way through the menus.
Hey, you want to give props to other restaurants where you go eat locally? Any other places we should try?
Yeah, sure. I love new restaurant that just opened in Darien, L'Hostal. Is really great.
How do you spell that?
L'Hostal, I want to say.
Oh, Italian or French?
French. Okay. Yeah, coastal, right? Isn't that?
Okay.
So L'Hostal is really great. Just beautiful cooking.
Nice.
The chef there, Jared,
has
a great resume. Yeah. I love, if anybody's looking for sushi, I'm just in love with what Kay is doing down in Greenwich at Miku and Hinoki. Those are really fun. And then I eat, you were talking about Vietnamese off the air.
Yeah.
And I love, Pho Nan Trang is a great place that I love up in Black Rock for anybody looking for just good, classic Vietnamese. Their pho is awesome. And that's, you know, and then there's some Mexican spots through Norwalk that I really love. We just, I have friends in the industry, so I find myself really fortunate that, you know, I go into where I typically get really good meals as well.
I would think so.
Because I kind of show up and
I would
go sit at the bar and, you know.
Yeah. And say, by the way, I'm Bill Tabey. Here's my card.
Yeah.
In case you don't know my face, here's
my card. Sometimes, it's hard to hide in the restaurant industry locally at this point.
Well, they know you and you're a leader in the restaurant industry.
As much as I'd like to just sit quietly and enjoy a meal. But, for a place that's been around forever, I went to Tarantino's this last Friday with some friends and just had in Westport and had such a great meal.
What did you eat there?
At Tarantino's, I had their beef carpaccio.
Okay.
My wife had the...
Forget it, raw. I'm out.
Yeah,
keep going.
But my wife had the Lola Rosa salad there's a little bit of gorgonzola, just really
yummy.
Great. And then I was in the mood for veal, but I did not want the veal balsamico. Because I just didn't want to have all the sort of the sweet vinegar. And they just did a great veal chop for me. And I kind of going to take a Scarpriello. And it was perfect. Cooked perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I love about Tarantino's and, it just seems to the service is perfect. It's warm. The staff is warm.
They don't have music.
Yeah, it's just...
Which is a personal pet peeve of mine in restaurants. I hate music in restaurants.
Oh, no. My goodness. My restaurant, there's a lot of music in my restaurants.
I don't like music
Why
in restaurants.
Not?
Because it distracts me from conversation.
From your conversation, yeah.
That's why. I want to go and have a quiet meal and talk to people and listen to them.
Sure.
I think as you get older, Bill, you're still younger than I am, you're going to appreciate quiet more.
Oh, I appreciate quiet, just not when I'm around people. That's the difference.
Really?
Lots of therapy
That's
sessions.
Interesting.
I'm a sort of the classic sociophobe. Yeah, I just don't.
Well, I'm
I don't
the classic
do well
person who says, can you please make it lower?
Yeah.
And they're very nice and accommodating in most places.
Yeah. When I'm sitting at dinner, loud noises are sort of a benefit to me because
That's
I'm like,
what?
And then we just have to be quiet and eat and then we get to go. Yeah. I'm not much for small talk. But I'm trying. As I get older, I'm actually trying to appreciate and learn some new skill sets.
See, I use a restaurant usually as an opportunity to catch up with a friend.
Sure. Yep.
And all I want to do is talk and listen.
That's funny.
So the music is it's distracting.
So interesting. Yeah. And that just goes to show, though, we all have sort of, right? We all have different things and different desires when we go out. Yeah.
Bill Tabey, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
That was
and
fun.
People can eat your food at the Welk, Don Memo.
Kawanee. And most recently, the Norwalk Art Space in Norwalk. We opened a coffee shop and cafe in a not-for-profit art gallery
Fantastic.
In Norwalk.
We'll be there. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned for more on WICC.